just saying she
wasn't. She stayed up too late, too.
Yeah. Thank you. Everybody say hi to Fred. Hi, Fred. Is this ready to go, brother?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. First Chronicles, the fourth chapter. But it won't be, it'll be very interesting because if you read that, you might just go right by it.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, but that, his name is in your Bible. Amen. Thank you. That's your quiz today. You did good. Make some noise. Goodbye. Now you're going to know some of this stuff, but I want you to know that I know that you know that you know that I know, and I'm not being funny, that's the truth. I want to know today, I want you to lift me up so high today, because I want you to be lifted up today, because I know you know, but I want you to know. Amen? Because we can never learn enough about His Word. We can never learn enough about God in our lives, right? In our lives. How many has God in your life? You all got, how many love Jesus? I'm asking, do you know Jesus? Do you love Him? You say, I don't know how much I love Him, but I love Him, right? You love Jesus because of what He did for you. Or how many believe that He did that on the cross for you? How many believe all that? You all believe that? Okay. Salvation. Salvation. You may know all this, yet I need to know it too with you. Salvation is impossible. And that's a strange word, right? Impossible in our own strength, because the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. But it is impossible in our own strength, salvation. It is a gift of God. Say that with me. It is a gift of God. Period. Grace. Anybody ever hear that word? Grace is given. Nothing is owed in return. When a gift is given, it's called grace. He gave you His grace, and nothing is owed. Say that with me. Nothing is owed in return. Nothing. It's unmerited. What does that mean? You did not deserve it. God is love. Love gives. A gift is not a gift if it is earned. You should put that. And God loves us. And how do I know God loves us? In 1 John it said, we love Him because He first love us. That's in your bulletin. You can take that home and read it. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no man can boast. What does that mean? You can't say you earned your salvation. You can't say you did something great and earned your salvation. You can't say anything about what you did because God gave it to you. Unmerited. You did not deserve it, but He gave it to you through grace. Amen. Yep.
Amen.
For by grace you have been saved, and not of your own doing. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Anybody ever hear of the Antichrist? We all hear a lot of things, oh, the Antichrist. You know, John, the only place you find the word Antichrist, you know it's only five times in your Bible, and John is the only one that writes about the Antichrist. And we get all excited about it. But you know what John has told us already? He said, many have already come. Many Antichrists have already come. Since Jesus, since the day after Jesus, since Jesus left, right from that moment on, Paul met him, and James met him, and Peter met him, they all met Antichrist. There is going to be one in end times, we can get that, but there is going to be one. But many, and what are they? They're deceivers. And what do they deceive? Who does not confess the coming of Christ in the flesh? That's what the Antichrist will do. Not all these things. That's what he's going to teach the world. That's going to be him just trying to deceive the world that Jesus did not come in the flesh. That's what his job. That's who he is. That's who he is. So anybody who tells you that Jesus didn't come in the flesh is an Antichrist against Christ. But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be
saved.
The Bible also says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Anybody worry if you have faith? Anybody ever worry? I don't know if I believe how I believe. Anybody say my faith? I don't know. I don't know, I really want to believe it, but I'm just not quite sure, and my faith is small. I don't know if I have faith. Well, let me tell you. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Who did it?
God.
Who gave it to who?
God.
Gave it to you, right? In Romans 12:3, it said, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So you already have it. And this is the really good part for me. Not my words. I'm not telling you this like I made it up. It's His word. He said, God has given a measure of faith. That means you all have that mustard seed of faith. You all have a measure. You all have it. The whole world has it. They have it, whether we use it or not. So if you already have it, so faith and grace are both gifts from who? God. You got that? Faith and grace, everything that you have, are gifts from God. So I said, if you thought at all about the message from last week, that it was God who carried you through or over every trial you have faced, when times were not only easy, but when they were not easy, He drew closer to you. You may not have ever seen that. You may not have ever thought about the times that you had. And anybody ever have rough times in your life? Come on, we've all had them. We've all had battles we wanted to fight. It could have been in your life. You know your life better than you know I know my life. So any battle that you had all those times, God was the one that carried. You might not have saw it right then. You might have been so angry you didn't even think of God. You might have been so anything that you didn't think. But I'm going to prove to you in a second. God got you through that. He carried you through that. He did all these things for you. You may not have seen that before or while the battle raged. Amen? We all get mad. We don't see God. Yes. But here's my proof. Here you are.
Praise God.
Look around. Look around. Here you are. Unless you did some amazing things back in the day. You should write a book. Unless you found every solution, you found it in your life, you should write a book. Unless and you fixed it yourself. Amen? Unless you did that. And I don't know, if you did all that, you should write books because people would read, how did you fix this and how did you fix that? You had all these troubles in your life, but I took care of it. I didn't have any help. You all know, God got you through that. He carried you through that. He was the one. And you go back in your life now and go to, He was the one, and the worst times in your life, He was the one that kept you sane.
Thank you, Lord.
Imagine, you go back to those worst times in your life and how crazy it was and how sick you were or anything. And He was the one, He kept you sane. You know how I know that? You're here now. I can see you. I can see that you're sane. And He did another thing. He kept you safe. Anybody ever get so angry that you're going to just do it, you Elgin, and just blow things up? Right? But He didn't let you. You were going to do things to yourself. I don't want to know anything. But you were going to do things to hurt yourself. Because you got so angry. You got so depressed that you thought there was nothing left. But He got you through that. He got you over that. Because I know, because I see you now.
Amen.
And you see me. This is not just for you. This is for me too. I'm going to confess. That's true. He got me through. He carried me over all the things in my life. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I do. Just stay with me. I might not have saw him like that, but now I realize He had His hand in my hand, and He just kept me sane because I didn't feel safe, and He kept me safe because I didn't feel safe.
Thank you, Lord.
Either way, remember that thing about the parking space? That's it. The guy prayed for a parking space and prayed to God for a parking space. And drive around the block and some guy pulls out and he said, never mind, God, I got one. So either you got it yourself or God carried you through every situation in your life. Because I'm going to tell you one thing, whether you believe it or not, God was with you through every situation. He's been with you through every minute of your life. Somebody say amen. So either way, God got you through it. Take that in this morning, just for a second. Just take that in. Think about that. I pray that takes weight off your shoulders today. Because I know you're going through something today because that's called life. I know you're worried about something, or you want somebody to be this, or you want that to be, or you're worried, anything in your life that you're worried about. I know that we all have them. I know you're thinking those things in your life today. So I hope that that takes something off your shoulders today, because if God got you here today and I can all see you, then God is still with you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And that means that your faith, if anybody can say yes to that, that says that faith is growing day by day. How many realize that? Your faith grows one way, day by day. The grace comes day by day. He doesn't give you so much in one day and forget you the next day. He gives you grace and faith to get through the day. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
He may have kept you from storms in your life. He may have kept you from things you don't even know. Anybody realize that? The things that could have been and might have been. Oh my God. But he kept you from those storms. If that happened, or I was stuck on the road, or I was this, or I was here, and I had all this stuff going on. But he got you through that, even the storms. You don't even know the things he kept you from. Hallelujah. Someday he might tell us the things he kept us through. But you might say, why me? Right? You like that song, Why Me, Lord, right? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Man, I love that. Anybody ever say, why me, Lord? I got something for you. How about instead of saying, why me, Lord, how about saying this morning, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you got me through that. Not why me, Lord. That's nice to ask him, but now you're being serious now. Say, just thank you, Lord. Because every day we have enjoyed in our lives was not promised. Think about that. That's why I said this morning, you weren't promised this today. Every day you have spent in your life was not promised the day before. As you sit here today, you have another chance to thank him. You have another chance to enjoy God. You have another chance to enjoy each other. How about that? Tell others about him. You can give a lost soul hope. You don't even realize the power that you have to change. You can change somebody's life today. You can change something by giving them hope. Something better than they have. Something where they feel lost, and you give them the seed of hope. Come to my church. My pastor's crazy, but he'll give you hope. He'll lift you up. He'll give you something that you can hold on to. Not some words that don't make any sense, but he'll give. You've got the power to give the lost hope. What a great gift. As you do, and this is the beautiful thing about God, as you give somebody hope, guess what? Your faith increases. Why? Because it's called the circle of love. When you give somebody hope, and you see somebody in need, and you give them a little hope, and you see them smile, what does that make you do? Smile, right? When you give somebody something and they get happy, you get happy. When you know somebody needed that and you fulfill that, or you gave somebody a hope, or you gave somebody an urge or a push and it changed their life, you get happy. You say, man, that's really good. And that's the circle. You see, God's blessings are a circle. When you bless somebody and you see that they're blessed, you feel blessed. When you pray for somebody and you see a good result, you feel like you did something with God and you feel blessed. And you say, hey, prayer works. Prayer works. I just see it because I look out and see you all and I know that prayer works because you're here today. We have prayed for each other over and over again, and I know I make a big deal out of travel. Lily and Zippy went to Japan. That's not a little deal. They went 1,000 miles away on an airplane and came back on an airplane, and they're sitting here today, and that means somebody's prayer was answered. And if that prayer is answered, what else are we going to do? God wants to answer your prayers. But if you don't thank him and see it that way, you're just going to continue the next day and the next day. But God carried you to this day. Don't say, why me, Lord? Say, thank you, Jesus. That's where it came from. The circle of his love. No one can take that. Nobody can take the gift away from you that God has given you. Think about this. God has given you a gift, and you accepted the gift. Nobody can take it away. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How can you lose a gift that God has given you? Think about that. God's given you a gift. How can you lose it? Oh. Sometimes you may fall. Anybody fall?
Yes.
Right? But you don't lose the gift. You may run. You tried to run away from God for a minute. You're doing all these things. You know God doesn't want you to do it. And you think you're running away from God. But he's running right there with you. You don't lose the gift. Because he gave you the gift. Some of us tried to deny it at times. It doesn't matter what you think. He's given you a gift. And you've accepted it in your heart. You said, thank you, Jesus. You all saying with me, thank you, Jesus. That's what you're saying. Thank you, Jesus. Not why me, Lord, but thank you, Jesus. You've accepted him. When you say, thank you, Jesus, that means you've accepted him. You don't have to do any miraculous works because you can't earn it. You just have to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me in my life. Thank you for what you did on that cross. You might even just try to deny it, but let's go. Buddy, ever see somebody on TV or something? Or you're seeing somebody on the street and you say, look at that, sir! I hope you don't do that. I know we see people that we get irritated with and stuff. Say, look at that sinner. He thinks he's saved. He asked God to come into his heart. Yet he uses foul language. You hear the language, he swears like crazy. Everybody thinks he's saved, right? He acts crazy. He does crazy things. He's out there doing crazy things. But he thinks he's saved because he asked Jesus to come to his heart. He did what? I'll let you decide. I put this in my sermon. He did fill in the blank. You see somebody, think of somebody you know that thinks they're saved, or somebody that you don't even know, but they took Jesus into their heart. And you say, he can't be saved. He's a sinner. Look, he's all that stuff, and he thinks he's saved just because he took Jesus in his heart. Romans 3 says, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Uh-oh. I know you all know this, but I want to know that you know that. I know this. I love this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many here are all? Anybody here not all? Right? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How about that? You say, look at that sinner over there. Look at him. I can't stand the words he's using. He thinks he's saved because he took Jesus in his heart. But wait a minute. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I have two scriptures here that might be interesting to you. Take the plank out of your own eye. Ouch, I know. I'm with you. I feel the same way. But the Bible says, somebody took Jesus into their heart. He's a brother or a sister. Take the plank out of your eye. Or, here's a better one, judge not lest you be judged. You're not judging the world. Amen. I'm not talking about judging the world. You're judging a believer. You're judging somebody who said, I took Jesus into my heart. We don't know whether they did or not. Amen. We don't know how sincere they were or not. Amen. But we start judging them because of what they're doing. And the Bible said, judge not lest you be judged. I don't want to judge anybody. I'm not judging you. I got enough problems. I got that plank in my eye I got to worry about. I don't want to judge other believers. See, that's what the Bible says. And if you confess that, we all fall short. So we all must have problems in our life somewhere along with God. But God has carried us to this day, right now. When you drove here and got out of the car, you might not have realized, but he was right there with you. So let the church this morning say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, can you do what you do? And when you do that, this is what happens. That's more faith. What does that mean? Because the more you see him in your life yesterday and today brings you a higher faith. The more you realize, and you just said, anybody who said, thank you, Jesus, that's more faith. You have more faith now than you did when you walked in because now you understand and you realize that you're talking about, thank you, Jesus. Not why me, Lord, but thank you, Jesus. I see you all out here, so God is blessing you. The more you see him in your life yesterday and today brings you a higher faith. Yeah, you and me. Us with God. A higher faith, right? Here's the truth. How many want the truth today? You're not perfect. You'll never be perfect. I'm sorry, group. I love you with all my heart. But you'll never be perfect.
Amen.
You will never be good enough to be with God on your own. Amen. You will never do it.
Amen.
Never. Now, Never, never. It's impossible. Unless you say, thank you, Jesus, come into my heart. So you're not all perfect, and you're never going to be perfect. All right. So grace and faith are gifts to you from God. Anybody believe that? Sinners that we are? We all confess that we're sinners. So how many think God's pretty good? Jesus is pretty good. You all thinking you want more? How many want more of Jesus in your life? No, just knowing that. Just thinking about that. Thinking, yeah, that's I gotta get you here. Hanging on with me. Hallelujah. I lift you up. That's what I'm trying to do today. But when I do that, you lift me up. Hallelujah. And then we lift each other up. Amen. You understand the circle? You understand the circle of what I'm saying? You lift somebody up. I lift you up and you lift me up when you get lifted up, and then we lift somebody else up. That's the circus. The circle. We are saved. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Say it again. Yes. We are saved. We're free from consequences.
Yes.
Nope. Nope. Right, Brother Dave? Nope. We're not free. I'm going to get to that word in a minute. Free from consequences. How many are saved? Yep, I'm saved. But free from consequences? Not so much. The Bible says we can grow in grace. Wow. Grow in the gift. God gave you a gift and you can grow in it. And the Bible says we can grow in faith. Amen? You can grow in faith. That means the gift that God gave you last week, last month, last year, you can grow in that. How many want to grow in God? How many want something to know that you know tonight as more than you knew this morning? I hope you all do. And what is growing? It's just a deeper understanding of God's love for you. That's what it is. The more you understand God's love for you, the more you grow in grace and the more you grow in faith. You say, He has blessed you. Say, He has blessed me. That's what you say. He carried you. That's what you say. Each new revelation in your life should and does cause you to want more. It's that important, church. Every little thing you're getting from God today, I pray that you say, I want a little bit more of that. This feels pretty good. I like this. Pretty good. To do better. Amen. To be better. Amen. Say the amen, right? You want to be better. And this is where I'm going to get you today. To try. Anybody ever hear that word? What does it mean to try? When you try to do something, think about what that means, to try. You're going to try to do it. Oh, I'll try to do that. That's not a little thing. People think it sounds like a little thing, right? You know, it sounds like a little, but it's not a little. What does it mean? That you're going to change. Oh. The hardest thing for us to do, especially as adults, is change. That's a horrible word. But I'm going to try. You see how big that word is? It's no little thing, because it's no longer you, but you calling or praying or thinking about God. Think about it. You say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to try. And that's all I want to know, that you see, because if you try, I got you. Because if you try, you're going to think more about Jesus and more about God in your life, and you're going to see Him in your life and sometimes see how He carried you to this day and say, maybe that took some weight off, and maybe you realize, yes, I'm trying. And if you're trying, you're changing. And that's a great word. That's a great word. You change from yesterday to today, and then you'll change a little today, tomorrow. What a great thing. See, that's all it takes. You see, day by day, you try. That little word means so much. And here's the truth. How far you change is up to you. But change is alive. How many understand how hard it is to change? Anybody have a problem changing? Anybody, my way or the highway, or I've done it this way, or this is how I feel, and I can't feel anymore, and this is the way I do it? I say change. Try. Just try. Just try it. If you try, you're going to say, okay, if I'm trying, it ain't me anymore. It's me calling on God. I'm trying. I'm trying to call. I'm trying to see. That's all I'm asking you to do, is try. Change is hard. We don't like change. But it's happening right now. It's a miracle. How many want to see a miracle? You're looking at one. You're looking at a miracle, but I'm looking at a miracle too, because I see you all here today, and I see you all watching and listening. You're going to try. See, that's a miracle. If I can get you to just try, that means I'm trying to get you to change, and you're doing it. But you're not doing it any longer, because you're calling on who?
God.
Hallelujah. You're calling on God. You can call on Jesus. Right? How about that? Mel Allen used to say. The power is in His Word. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. When you know it better, you're stronger, yet we are all works in progress. When you know the Word of God in your heart, you become stronger. The more you read it, the more you spend time with God, the better you're going to be, the more power you're going to have. That's the truth. But you're changing, and you're changing day by day. That's all I'm asking. We are called to different ministries. How many know that's true? We're all not the same people. We all have different callings. We all have different talents. We all have different gifts. Thank you, Lord. Even in the church, some different. They're all different functions. Same body, different functions, right? It makes sense, right? Here's the important part of these, because you got people called to do this and people with talents to do that. And people in the church, one body, all these gifts. Here's the important part. How many want the important part? The important part is you become part of it. The important part is to become a part of the church, a part of the ministry. Be part of it. Your church, your talents, it will be needed because we're a team, amen? I'm up here preaching to you, but we're all part of the team. We're all part of His team, amen? So my calling right now is to lift you up and teach you. Your calling is to receive it and lift each other up. Amen. Become part of the team. That's what it's all about. And then your talent will be used. It will be have a moment where your talent, your gift, the things you can do will edify the church, lift up the church. It's all true. It will be needed because we're a team and we need each other. And you might say, I don't know what I can do. Yes, you do. You can come here and smile. You can come here and hug people. You can come here and lift people up. You can love each other. You can say something nice to somebody. That's what you can do as part of the team. You can edify people, lift them up. Don't tear them down. Lift them up. And then you're part of the team. Become part of that. Just give me a minute here. I'm going to go over the word consequences. Just for a minute, I want you all to hear this. We are saved, amen?
Amen.
We are saved from consequences. Not. Let's get back to consequences. Saved, yes. But if we fall or when we fail, we are not saved. And they're from the consequences. It's an awful word, right? Let me explain for a second. Somebody in prison might have done some most horrible things. One day wakes up, gets on his knees next to his cot, and he gives his heart to Jesus. He confesses to Jesus. Lord, come into my heart, come into my soul, come into my mind. Forgive me, Lord. He is saved. He is redeemed. He is a brother. He is a sister in Christ. Yet he is still in prison for his crimes. He's saved, but he's still in prison because of the consequences of his crimes. But he's a brother, just like you and me, a sister. You break the law, and there may be a price in this world. You lie, or cheat, or steal. There are things in this world that you can lose. That's the thing with consequences. You're not going to lose salvation. Salvation is yours by the grace of God because you accepted Him into your heart. That's between you and God. But there are consequences in this world. Hallelujah. You can lose your family. You do something horrible, or your husband does something, or your wife does something horrible. You can lose your family. Split your family up, your children here and there. You can do those consequences. Still saved, amen? Still a brother and sister, but you did something with that. You can lose a friend. That's it, right? You both be saved, but something happened and you did something, you lied, you cheated, you misled them, and you could lose a friend. You're both saved, but you lost that friend. You can lose a job. You have a job, God put you in a place, a position of job. You do something wrong. You're still saved. You go in there and I'm a Christ. I'm Christian. I'm born again. Yeah, but you're fired. You're still born again. You're still a Christian. You're still saved. But you lost your job. There's even worse. Respect. You lose people's respect. Not when you want respect, what does that mean? But you want people to look at you like you're a Christian. You have a responsibility, you're going to lose that. And now for you, you're going to lose your peace because you're going to realize that that even though you're saved, the consequences of what you did will cause you to lose your peace. That's not worth it. And your joy. Still saved, but the cost here can be very real. Amen. My life has changed. But I'm still me. That's my wife. She said to me last night, how can you keep making a mess at the dinner table? And I know, I'm sorry. And I do. She's right there. She'll tell you, I make a mess at the dinner table. But I'm still saved. Amen. God still loves me. Praise I'm still me. But I have changed. I love this. It's simply, Brother James, amazing. I confess daily to my God. I don't sit with my wife at the table and confess my sins to her and her to me. No, I go off where my quiet place is and I confess to God my sins. You know why? I have to. I have to do it every day. Every day. I have to do that for my own spirit to know that I know that He knows that I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for whatever, your thoughts, your deeds, your words, whatever. But the Bible says we all fall short, and I want to make sure I cover all that. And it's more than praise. I know you all praise God and say, thank you, Jesus, praise God. You're driving along, praise God, giving Him praise and the glory. This is different. This is confessing. This is your heart. True confession to God. Forgive me, Lord. David said, I sin against God. I want to be a reflection of my God. That's what I want. That's really what I want. I want to be a reflection of my God. I want that for you. I want you to be a reflection of this God who loves you more than I could ever begin to. Who's done more in your life than you ever know. But now you're going to try. So I want you to be. I want people to see something in you that they don't see in the world. I want them to see it in your eyes, and your words, and your attitude, how you treat people, how people see you. They see that reflection. That's what I want. I don't care what the world's doing. I want people to see the God in you. I want to be a reflection of my God. And I will tell you this: it will bless you to feel that way too when you do that. It will bless you. So I know my God works for our good. The Bible says for our good. So when I rise up with you. I want to rise you up. And when I see you smile, when I see you receive it, I rise up. It works that way. Your success is my success. God doesn't want you poor. Amen. Some people think, oh, God wants you poor and humble. And no, because you can't draw people. You want to shine to draw people to you. You want to shine so people come to you. Amen. We help the poor. We help the needy. And sometimes we feel that way. But we are not that way. And you can't draw people to God when you're always in need, always in need, always in need. But when you just give, and when you give of yourself, you give a heart, you smile, you lift people up, you draw people to you. That's a good feeling because you're reflecting Him now. Amen. When you rise up, I rise up with you. Your success is my success. When we pray, we all receive it together. Like I told you before, when you pray for something, when the church prays for something, and you see them sitting right there, you say, God, you heard that prayer. It's no little thing. It's not by accident that they flew there and flew back and they're sitting here. I don't believe in that. I believe God carried them through. I believe God brought us to this day right here together. Through all the storms you've ever been through. Each day is a blessing. You say, thank you, Jesus. Not why me, Lord. That's a great song. I love singing that song. It tears into your heart. What have I ever done to deserve even one? And He just said, just say thank you. Because you have it. You have stories in your life. You have all these things in your life to share memories that you have. Just say thank you. Because other people don't have what you have. Each day is a blessing. I would just say, let them in. And you are. Taste and see it. Do it. Today, if you will, the feeling you get, if you will do this today, if you receive this today the way I sent it out to you, if you hear me now and know that to take the burden off your shoulders that God has carried you through, and that you're going to do that one little word, you're going to try to do different. Just try. That means you're going to call on God. That feeling you get will be absolutely, Brother James, amazing. Give him praise, church. Thank you, Lord. God is amazing.
All the time.
All the time. Amazing grace. We're going to hopefully start having music next week a little bit. I've asked Brother Andre to bring his bass guitar, and I asked my bride to bring her mic down and have it, because I'd like to have a couple of songs. I miss the music because I've only played music since I was like a long time. So we're just going to have a little bit of music. And Andre, we all missed you last week. It's so funny that we kind of thought you were there all the time, and I said, wait a minute, Andre's not here. Where's Andre? Isn't it nice that he's back with us today? I think it is. He's smiling. See that? I made him smile. You all made him smile. Isn't that good? Don't you feel good? Look at him. He's smiling. You did that. Look at him. Don't you feel better doing that? You're trying. Thank you, Lord. Whew. What's next, Marilyn? Let's see. How about the Lord's Supper? Shall we do the Lord's Supper together? George came to the Bible study with the elder Nancy and Fred, and he walked over and said, what is in that cup? I said, that's our Lord's Supper. And he said, oh, I had to explain it to him. It was kind of cool to explain. Y'all got it? Everybody got theirs? Praise God. Good morning, Deacon. Yes, sir.
You want the second part?
I'll do the second part.
Okay.
You do the first part.
All right.
I'll do the second part. You going to help me on Tuesday?
Oh,
we spoke to the hospital. Yeah. My wife spoke to that lady.
Yeah.
And she said, you know what she said? I'm going to tell you what she said. My wife tell you what she said? Yeah. We didn't know he was a deacon.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're going to all call you that now. You know that, right? We were bragging on you. But you know what the truth is? I got to give you the truth. She was bragging on you before I left.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, we just love him. Oh, he's great. Oh, Sergio. Oh, yeah, we love him. You were a dude.
Yeah.
Pretty swell kind of guy. This church is blessed to have you, my brother.
Thank you. I'm blessed. I want to read that first.
The Lord's Supper. In your Bible, if you want to read with me, I want us to be ready to receive. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Thank you, Lord. Wash me thoroughly from the iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, God. Do that for all of us this morning as we have the Lord's Supper. Great job.
Thank you, brother. I first want to say thank you, Lord, for blessing us for this moment. Here's where we're going to honor and celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant. And I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 14, verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed and he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm. Took the wine and poured it into a cup. They're all looking at him. He said, this is my blood. Be shed for you for the remission of your sins. Drink and do this in remembrance of me. In Jesus' name, church. Somebody be healed this morning. Somebody just love him more this morning. Not why me, Lord, but thank you, Jesus. There's so much peace in his name. Try it, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, there's me right now. In your day, there's so much peace. So many things he's carried you through, even yesterday. little things that you didn't see, little things that he did for you, just he's watching. The sky above, and he's got there, he's watching. At night, while you're sleeping, he's watching. He loves you. He's blessed us with all these beautiful things. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you came and you did that for us. We don't deserve what you've done for us, Lord, but you did it. You gave it to us. You gave me a little faith to believe, and then you gave me the grace to receive it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, give him praise, church. Jabez. Brother John is with his beautiful bride, Jacqueline. They're going to up the Falls Village, of all places. They got an old car show and an old tractor show and all things. And he said, is that okay? And I said, of course it's okay. This is your church. This is your home. But, you know, sometimes God blesses you to do something.
And Nathan and Greg stayed out very late last night.
Yes, they did. They're paying the price. You know, they go to karaoke. They love, they both go out and they're like karaoke kings and queens. And they found a new place last night. And they're not drinkers, praise God, and they're not troublemakers. They just love to sing. And they do. So she texted this morning. I don't know, Jenny and Norm, I haven't spoke to him. I know he's going through that pain in his leg. So we'll keep them in prayer. And Andy and George, it's good to have you with us. And thank you. Good to see you. How long are you up for? 6 months? That's pretty good. I know sometimes we worry about, do I love him enough? Or I don't know if I do or not. The fact that you're asking yourself that is almost proof that you are. The fact that you say, I don't know if I'm doing it right, that's enough to try. To say, come into my heart, Lord. I'm not sure quite what that means, but you come into my heart and I'll talk with you. I'll try. That little word is huge. If I can get you to try, that means I can get you to change. And that is a hard thing for a church to do, for all of us. So thank you for that. Any other announcements? Mrs. C, you have an announcement.
No, Dave first.
Dave, you have an announcement.
Oh, you're
lovely. I don't care what you say, I'm still saved.
This isn't an announcement, but it goes to my heart. A friend of mine, and I think I've mentioned him many times, and he had throat cancer. And for 2 years, he has been not able to eat. He had a tray put in, and for the first year, he had 24-hour care, and they had to keep sucking out the mucus. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he went through it. I look at it and I say, because I had cancer, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it. So the second year, he started getting a little better, and he had so much radiation that it took forever for the hole to close so he could eat, and he was getting close. And then he started having trouble even taking a little bit of ginger ale. And after 2 years, they found another growth. And I don't know how he's going to get through it. I just don't know. What I went through was nothing. And I know what Walter went through with his. I know how hard he went through it. But we have to appreciate the times that we have and thank God for our health, for what we have. And no matter how bad off we think we are, there's someone that's worse. And I grew with this man I grew up with from a kid. We double dated. And it just breaks my heart. And I want to put it on our prayer list. And I want everyone to know that he's a good man. He was married once. His wife died a year before he got his cancer. And his son is just devastated. But I just want to say a little prayer for him, if everybody don't mind.
Amen.
Dear Lord, you know my heart is broken for him. I don't know how well he knows you. Does he believe in you? I try to talk to him. He knows me. He knows my faith. Hopefully he'll come around. Maybe he has. I don't know. I don't know his heart. You do. But watch over him. Help him through this next session. I don't know how he got through the first section. We'll help him through this and give him strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
These men were praying for their friend, very sick, horrible disease, lame. He didn't know God, didn't know him at all. But they loved, they heard about Jesus, and they found this place, they found this house where Jesus was going to be. And they carried him on a stretcher, and there was people out the door. They couldn't get close to it, so they said, hey, let's go get a ladder and we'll climb up on the roof. So they cut a ladder and they climbed up on the roof. And they actually, because of the thatch roof, they actually cut a hole. They actually pulled with their hands and worked at it until there was a hole in the roof. And then they lowered his stretcher down. And Jesus looked. And it came down. And Jesus healed that man. That man had no faith. Those men had the faith. The power of faith was not the one that going to receive the miracle, but in the prayer made by the man who had faith. There was a centurion on a horse, and he met with Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I understand authority. I have a servant home, and he's terribly sick. I understand what you're doing, and I understand that. You say that he will be healed, and I understand that when you say it, he will be healed. That servant didn't know Jesus. Didn't know that God was there. We don't even know anything about him. But Jesus looked at the centurion and said, I have not seen that kind of faith in all of Israel anywhere. It is as you say. He will be healed. And when that man went home, that centurion went home, he found his servant healed. Not the man's faith, but the man who prayed faith. The man who claimed the faith. That's the power that you possess. Your faith has made you well. Sometimes our faith can't make us well because we get in the way of that. But other people's faith can make you well. Sometimes we lay hands and sometimes we don't. But it doesn't matter what we do. Understand, we don't want to get caught up in what we have to do. Oh, we need to lay hands. We need to do this. We need to pray. No, we just need to have faith.
Amen.
To say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I know that God heard that prayer. And I know that some strengths are more than we understand. We see that in our world. We see that with our families. We see that in our life. How are they doing it? Then you just have to say it's God carrying them through. Amen? But this, the answer that God has is greater than our answer always. 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 Well, that's why you say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Because that means you trust him to do what's best for the answer to your prayer. But Brother David, his faith means nothing. It's your faith that's going to make a difference. And it's your faith that's got him through that. And it's your words. And you just tell him something. My friend Doug has a saying, and I love it. And I tell him, I claim it. He said, Doug would say to my wife and I on the phone, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm only upset about one thing. I didn't come up with that. He said, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. So I would just simply tell him tomorrow or today, or, hey, Jesus loves you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
Amen. Give him praise. So what a beautiful thing. Mrs. C, yes ma'am. Birthday, Jimmy James, and Brother James. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. birthday, dear brother Jimmy James. James, happy birthday to you. I'm all right about Tuesday. I'm not nervous.
At all. I'm not thinking about it at all. I mean, my landlord, 94 years old, and he came up yesterday to say hi to us. I said, you're going to have cows? Oh, I had two of them. Well, I got two brand new eyes. He said, I have both my knees done. He said, I got two brand new knees. I guess that he just came up to say hi to us for a second, and I think that's why God sent him up, just to say that. Though I had two cataracts done, I got two brand new eyes. Because there's some people you don't want to tell stuff like that to. I have somebody, and I'm telling you who, but you tell them that anything, and oh, I had that done, it didn't work. Thank you for your prayer. And Deacon Sergio, I'm going to tell, he works at Griffin Hospital, takes care of so many beautiful things. He's amazing. And he's going to meet me, and he's going to pray for me, and I feel better already knowing that he's going to be there. I wish we had a copy of the phone call when the woman called up, tell me all the things, asked me all the medicine I'm on, all the things. And we said, well, Deacon Sergio, and she said, he's a deacon? This man's a legend at the hospital. He doesn't even know. She got all excited, right? Oh, we love him. Oh, we just think he's wonderful. Yeah, we just do. You. Brother Fred, yes, sir.
Okay, whoever opened up the church today didn't cancel the alarm. Oh, fortunately, I had my phone on me and I was able to call
in
and have the police come.
Was that
you, Alan? Whoever opened the church this morning set off the alarm.
I opened it. It was no beeping.
Take the offering this morning. Come on, everybody. Just give to where God has planted you. Just say thank you, Jesus, when you put it in the box. Your offering is between you and God, going to your church. None of us are driving brand new cars. We're not looking for a brand new jet. We're not looking to be all that. We just want this church to be open, to be on fire for God, and be blessed by God. And we want the people in this church to receive blessings, to keep these doors open, and you're doing that. You are becoming part of this ministry every week. So I pray that you, Lord, take this offering and you bless those who give, Lord, and just let them know that it came from you. Let them know, Lord, really overwhelm them so that they have to come up and say, Pastor, I have to tell you what God did about my finances. It's not bragging. It's telling each other, hey, this is the right thing to do. This is the right way to do it. Try. What a beautiful word. Thank you for this offering. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Deacon.
Amen. Thank you, God.
We close with these two beautiful little prayers. It's so beautiful, it really is. These are things between you and God. That's what church should be, between you and God. The message is with you and God, and everything that we do is with Jesus here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Not why me, Lord, but thank you, Jesus, that we have this today, this opportunity. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Wow. Try me, Lord, and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked ways in me, and lead me in the way of salvation. What a beautiful request for you. For you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face towards you and be gracious to you. The Lord move his face towards you and give you peace. Those are beautiful words. Those are your words for you and words for me. I pray you got that peace this morning. I pray something is lifted off your shoulders. I pray you understand the workings of salvation and grace, that you can grow in all that. And I pray you want to be a reflection of him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Have fun, everybody. Be nice. We got visitors from Florida. Oh, Zippy, what are you doing?
It's his fault.
Well, it ain't my fault. The mess under the table last night was my fault. This ain't my fault.
What are you doing to me?
Hi, brother.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good to see you. Good. You gonna have a jam soon?
I hope so.
Okay, good.
I missed the last one.
Well, no, we didn't have it because you weren't here.
I thought you did.
We didn't have it because you weren't here. You think we love you?
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her tonight with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairie to the oceans when it falls. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
We love you, man. Everybody loves you. Don't let it go to your head, though.
No, I don't.
God bless you all.
Thank you. Well, you got to push it up to on first. Oh.